Ultimate Trivia Podcast.
Welcome to the Ultimate Trivia Podcast, the show where knowledge is power and laughter is our only reward. We're all here tonight, the whole crew. Kelly is in the corner. How are we doing tonight, babe?
Nobody puts me in the corner.
Big B, man beef.
Fantastic.
Buffalo feels right for some reason. You ever been called Buffalo? I don't know.
No, that's added in there.
Buffalo Brian for his propensity to love hot wings. I played
Nice. Freudian, right?
Yeah. I played baseball with a guy. We called him Beef Tits.
Wow.
Beef okay. Tits?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Nick, that was Nick, by the way.
Hey. Nick.
Bull titty. All right.
And Dr. Scott is in the other corner.
Hey, Andy.
Hey. It's been a while since we've been together, and this is our second episode tonight, so we're having a good time.
It's going to be a little bit more lively.
We've got a great episode that I've written for you, and it is 100% completely random.
Oh, okay.
Random trivia tonight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I will give you a category for each question, but other than that, these 10 questions are as unrelated as
possible.
That's
so. My favorite. Okay. I like that. Probably my favorite.
We'll see how it goes, but before we get to all of that, we want to draw some attention to our website. We've updated a few things there. All of our episodes are actually now categorized. So if you like the science or the United States tied ones or all of the pop culture, you can click on a direct category, go back and listen to our catalog. Obviously, we're adding to it once a week.
Yeah, we are.
Pretty cool. You can also leave us a voicemail right on the website. I'm thinking question of the week. We'll play it right here on the air.
100%. Yeah. I would love that.
With your voice.
Yeah. That's right. That's absolutely. It'll be your message as long as, of course, it's clear and we can extract it cleanly. So,
check in it English.
Yeah, that is important.
I kind of would like it to be in another
language.
I'm
learning German as we go. Yeah, so, I would like it. You never know, Ja.
Yeah.
I just want to request that a listener whose English is not their primary language submit us.
Please.
A question in their foreign tongue.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, we will figure out a way to translate. 100%.
I love that. That would be so cool.
That's a great shout.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
We are huge in Russia, right, B?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Give us a question.
Da svidaniya.
Da.
All right. Anyway, we do have a question of the week. I don't know if I said the website. It's theultimatetriviapodcast.com. Super simple. Super easy to find.
If you know the show, you know the website.
That's exactly right. All our socials will link to it, too. Anyway, we got a question of the week. Doc's got it. What do we have?
All right. This came in from Tiffany with no last name, so I'm really hoping it's the pop singer.
Yeah, has to be.
I think we're alone now.
Definitely. Amber Thiesen. I'll take her as well.
Okay. But I mean, if she's one of our listeners, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
All right. Well, anyway, Tiffany wants to know, if you could only smell one scent forever, what would it be and why?
I have a definitive favorite smell, and I can't imagine ever getting sick of it. You're going to know it the moment I describe it. It is that smell that hits the nostrils the moment you peel an orange.
Oh.
Is that right?
I can smell that forever. I can't imagine ever getting sick of it.
Is that how you eat those things? You gotta peel it?
Oh, you didn't know. Yeah. Shoot.
Brian sweated once. Yeah. Peeled an orange about a half an hour ago.
I mean, I love the smell of gasoline, but there's no way I would want to smell that.
No,
yeah, I'm the same way.
Smells too, yeah.
I agree.
But napalm in the morning?
Yeah.
That's love that good. Victory.
I was trying to think of food, but you also don't want to be smelling food all
bacon?
The time.
Would
right?
Bacon get old?
Bacon would be up there.
That's a good call. Yeah.
Bacon always smells good.
I don't know.
I'm not even a huge bacon guy, but it always smells good.
Wait, what?
I'm not a huge bacon guy.
I remember one time somebody asked me if there's any leftover bacon. I had never heard of such a thing. There's no such thing in my life
one
or my
time
household.
In my life. I had a bacon sandwich that I could not finish because it was literally too much bacon.
Well, you can't finish a steak, so a little piece of bacon, I can imagine it would be tough for you.
Ground candy in St. Louis has that one-pound deal.
Yeah, it
was just too much.
I was thinking like coffee shop, you know what I mean? But no, I'm going to go back, though.
That's a good one, though.
The smell of a pipe. So when we were kids, where we're from, they had this baseball card shop. And you go in there and it smelled like that. I'll take that all day, every day.
Thank you, Ron.
All baseball shops smelled like that. Was it common for baseball shops to also be cigar? That's a good one.
I love the pipe.
That's why I've always liked Black and Milds, because I think it's pipe tobacco that they have in there. There's good stuff, good smell to it. Oh, that's a good one.
Mm. Get you a leather chair.
Oh.
Leather-bound book.
Yeah. Rich mahogany.
Weathered leather.
That's a great one.
So I'm going to go with a new car smell.
I knew that was coming.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good
one. I mean, it's a sad day when you realize that smell is no longer in the car.
Sure.
I didn't roll my windows down for a year. Right. First time I bought a new car.
Sleeping there.
I just wanted to keep it. I just wanted to keep that smell. There's something about it. And they cannot duplicate it.
Yeah.
Like, artificially. Like, it just has to be a new car.
The spray at the car wash, but it doesn't do it.
It's not the same.
I think I read it's like the chemical.
It's actually a chemical. It's actually really not that good for you.
It's probably killing us, disrupting hormones.
It's a bad,
Well, you would suffer from it other than anybody else in here because you've bought the most of my new cars.
That's true.
You went on a streak there for a while.
Oil change, what's that mean?
I think Doc might be catching up to you here before long.
That's true. That's my goal.
No, I think you're right, Doc, that smell is actually the foam gases when the cab heats up. Chemical. That's what I've heard. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. Smell.
Maybe we can get that on Pro-Am so you can fact check that for me.
I love the smell of honeysuckle. In the summertime when you drive through the forest or you're walking somewhere and you smell that honeysuckle smell, that's really good. When we used to go play softball in the next town over, there's always that stretch of road
out
by your house. You go by there and there's a wooded area and I'd catch that smell of honeysuckle.
I'm sure I know the smell, but I don't. As you talk about it, I don't know what it is.
So
I
can't, sweet. I can smell it right now.
Yeah. I could not identify.
Yeah.
I don't recall what that smell is. I'm sure it's lovely, Kelly.
It is.
I'm sure it's lovely. Floral.
If you like the smell of flowers, then you would like it.
How about a smell of like a open fire, like a fire pit smell?
Yeah.
Campfire.
Yeah. Until you get home. Then you stink.
Then,
clothes.
Then
next morning when you go.
But like when you're there, it's great. But like later, you're like, oh, that's,
Yeah, because it's in your hair. It's in your clothes. Yeah,
well, I don't know about that, but sure.
Well, some of us still have
it's in your beard hair.
Yeah.
And obviously anything on the grill, right? I
mean, sure.
But once again. Yeah. I mean, how many times have you been like mowing your grass and you're like.
That's another good smell.
Who's cooking?
Oh, yeah.
No, freshly mowed grass.
Oh, yeah.
I feel pretty confident I can identify what they're grilling based on the smell.
Well, that's impressive.
That's pretty good.
We could test that out. At least the difference between chicken and one of the red.
I can't wait for the technology where we can have an olfactory trivia where we have smells and you identify that smell. And the listeners can play along.
Yeah. I do like that.
That would be remarkable.
I'm working on that. I'll be in the lab for the next year.
Right. With your notebook.
Yes. I haven't gone yet, so I have two that are coming to mind. One is food related, and it is cookies, freshly baked cookies. That smell in the house.
Any particular kind?
No, like sugar. I grew up in a house. My mom made cookies all the time.
Pan cookies though. Those were
pan cookies are fire. But you know, any cookie, just that the baked good smell.
Yeah,
that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, which is kind of weird, but it's the smell of a baseball glove.
As soon as you were saying that, I was going to go the specific smell of a leather basketball.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Glove kind of has that smell, even if you treated it, you know, lathered it up with, you know.
Even an old used one that's been sweated in, it still has that weathered leather smell.
There is a smell to it.
If you've ever been in the store buying a glove, You smelt it every time.
Oh, yeah.
Put it right.
You know what I'm saying? Like when you're looking at it and feel it. You
put it to your face.
Every time I put a glove on, I smell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like when you're shopping, I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a smell I want for the rest of my life, but it's something that's resonating with me right now.
Okay. I like that you had a food and a non-food.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for some reason, as an ex-smoker, when somebody lights up a cigarette, the first initial light, it smells great, but then it gets terrible after that.
I agree.
For some reason, the initial part is great. But after that, it's awful.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it's a reminder of why we quit.
Yeah, truth.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Who was that?
That was Tiffany.
Tiffany, Amber, you know, whatever. Anyway, thank you very much. We got a t-shirt code coming your way, so be checking that email. If you would like to submit a question to us and we answer it on the air, we'll send you a t-shirt code to our merch store. You can find the link to our merch store there at the top of our website. And there's some cool stuff out there. So rep the show and tell a friend. Cool?
Yeah.
Great.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scott, you're going to love this.
What's the topic? Oh, crap. He's going to win again.
I got no synopsis. It's random trivia. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
So you have a trivia and you're talking less. This is great.
How about that, huh?
Good stuff.
I needed to regain some favor with you guys after a long time.
We got a whole episode to go. So
yeah. So, and this is random.
It's completely random. I do want to share that I did my best to judge how I would have done on this trivia.
Okay.
I think I would have gotten six, but there's one that is like when you see it, then you're like, yeah, of course that's the answer. I don't know if I'd have got there though. Mm-hmm. So five or six is how I would have performed. It's pretty straightforward classic trivia. You either know it or you don't. It's not real easy to guess on a lot of these, so
sure,
we'll see how it goes.
Okay, but you said you were going to give us a category before every question.
Yep.
Or? Okay.
Yep. So you'll know.
Well, that's something.
All right, let's get started. It's time for the main event, our 10-question trivia game on Completely Potpourri, a random trivia for your enjoyment. I am your host. I will read a question aloud. I will ask the boys to write something on their whiteboard. When I say reveal, they're going to show the answer. If they get it right, Nick's going to give them a point.
Got it.
And if they get it wrong, that is when the real fun begins. Let's see who ends up top. We got our cheers beers ready. We're drinking Commotion from Great Raft. Pro-Am, tell us about it.
Well, we have Casey H. to thank tonight. We toast you, Casey. We appreciate you being a part of what we're doing. And as Andy said, we're drinking Commotion from Great Raft Brewing in Shreveport. It's an American pale ale with those citrus and grapefruit hop notes, but it stays really balanced. Cheers, Casey.
Yeah. Thank you, Casey.
Thank you, Casey.
I like citrus in a beer.
49 units.
There you go. All right. Cheers to Casey. Thank you for the donation.
Yeah, thank you.
Smells kind of hoppy.
Smells pungent. Yeah.
It smells way hoppier than it finishes.
Yeah. It's not as bitter.
Oh.
Yeah.
It smells a lot hoppier than it is. Yeah. It does.
It's pretty good. I like the little citrus.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's a good change up. Yeah. It's a good, decent change up. Good.
Don't mind it.
All right. Anyway.
It's not really causing a commotion. I would say.
No, that's a fair point. All right. If you want to give us a donation, I love it. Check out the show notes right there at the top. You can buy the crew around. Yes, we'll spend that money on a good drink to cheer you.
Suggest a beer. That'd be fun.
Yeah, very good. But we're also, building a pool here. We want to bring video to you guys. So, that's our fastest path to get there.
Yeah, 100%.
Ready, fellas? Question number one. We're going to the movies.
Okay.
Here we go. Which actor is widely cited as having the most on-screen deaths in major films?
What?
Most deaths?
Deaths. Who has died the most in major films?
Wow.
Yep.
I don't like it.
This is not what I would have gotten right. Wow. But I did. I had heard it. After I saw it, I knew it.
Yeah.
Well, it can't be a lead guy. I mean, lead guys don't die.
It's the most
things you learn, you'd be like, definitely.
Really?
I promise you, yes.
Oh. So it's a name that people do know.
Yep.
Okay.
You bet.
So it's not Kenny from South Park?
It is a real person, not an animated character. That's right. Man, this Commotion is pretty legit. I have to get some. Oops. Get my sister-in-law and give me some more.
Dude, I am stumped. I'm just going to have to throw out a name.
Throw a name.
Most on-screen deaths.
You are listed an actor. Which actor is widely cited as having the most on-screen deaths in major films? Wow. I might have heard this stat from Brian, actually.
Really?
I think so.
It's great because I can't come up with it. Man.
I wrote, obviously, something down, and I'm pretty sure it's not right.
Yeah.
Okay. But I... Yeah, I'll talk afterwards.
There you go. This is what I mean. It's trivia that you know. It's hard to guess, right?
Sure.
Trivia that you know or you don't know. All right. Has everybody got an answer on their board?
Yep.
All right. Which actor has died the most in major films? Let's see the answers. We got Samuel L. Jackson from Nick. Sean Bean from Scott. Samuel L. Jackson from Kelly. That's a great answer. Tom Hanks from Brian. Great. Unfortunately, we do not have a correct answer. It's Danny Trejo.
Really?
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, think about it. He's always some kind of thug.
Well, I don't feel like
he's in a lot of Michael Bay movies.
He's always been a Mexican gangster.
Has he been in that many movies?
He's been in a ton of movies.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And his acting career didn't start until he was
pretty late on.
40s, probably.
Yeah.
Most memorable for me is probably, what's the one with Nicholas? Conair.
Conair, yeah.
Major role there.
Yeah.
I feel like he could have given some little extra clues to... Narrow that down, maybe.
Hey, man, this was confirmed in three different sources. So
I'm not saying it's wrong. That's a tough question.
It is a tough question, and it was designed to be tough. So let's move on.
The first one.
Oh, wait a minute. We got something to say here.
Tell me about Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo. Entertainment outlets and film analysts who have tallied cinematic death scenes across major movies consistently identified Danny Trejo as the actor with the highest number of on-screen deaths. A 2020 analysis for example, counted around 65 film deaths.
Wow.
Putting him ahead of other famously killed off actors like Christopher Lee and Lance Hendrickson. I have to admit, I don't know who either of those people are.
Yeah, they
Christopher really... Lee was Count Dooku.
Oh, enough already.
Yeah. Okay.
Gotcha. There you go. So, yeah, he's just frequently cast as a villain, an anti-hero.
On.
Lance, get the on Lance Hendrickson?
No, I got nothing on
that. I don't know who that is.
Lance Hendrickson?
Yeah, no idea.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
Nobody's on the board, huh?
No.
All right. And I felt good because it was movies.
Yeah. Well, we're going to sports, so you feel even a little bit better.
Maybe.
Not really.
Okay. Question number two, sports. What athlete is the only person to play in both a Super Bowl and a World Series? Did them both. Kelly's done. Queeners are right. Here goes Nick. I would love to hear the thoughts. Yep. Brian just got
it. I'm second guess. No, I'm going to ride with it. I'm going to ride with it.
I think that's everybody. What athlete is the only person to play in both a Super Bowl and a World Series? Let's reveal. Brian has Deion Sanders, as does Kelly, Doctor, and Nick. That's the right answer.
All right.
Who else is floating through the brain?
I started over thinking I was Brian Jordan.
Brian Jordan.
Jumped in my head, but I'm like that.
No,
Deion just, seems like the obvious.
Just Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it. And one of the best athletes on earth. That has ever walked this earth, I guess.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
Yeah.
And him being such a phenomenal athlete, it's amazing because he said one of the hardest things to do in sports is hit a pitcher, major league pitcher.
He said the hardest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a guy that was a defensive back, which I think is one of the hardest things to do in sports as well.
Sure.
To guard a wide receiver.
Yeah. Under these rules, especially.
Top two things I always see is hit a baseball and stop a hockey puck.
Those are the two things I always see.
Yeah.
For sure.
I can see that.
Well, Deion is the only athlete in history to appear both in the NFL's Super Bowl and Major League Baseball's World Series. He played in Super Bowl 29 with San Francisco 49ers and Super Bowl 30 with the Dallas Cowboys. And he appeared in the 1992 World Series as a member of the Atlanta Braves.
Did he win? I guess, did he win?
Ooh, this is a fun fact.
Not the Braves.
No. I know he didn't as a Braves, but did he win?
The Niners.
I
didn't won with the Niners.
Okay.
He
okay.
might have won with the Cowboys, too, actually.
What year was the Cowboys?
It was the next year. It was Super Bowl 30.
Well, not a year. Not
I know he won with the Niners.
I thought
Steve Young.
I thought he only won one Super Bowl.
Yeah, he may.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Sanders is also the only player ever to hit a home run in a Major League Baseball game and score a touchdown in the same week.
That's crazy.
He's underscoring
That's impressive.
How rare his
It's a nice week.
That is, you're on top of the world.
He had a good day.
Very good. All right, everybody's on the board.
Yes.
Time to start differentiating. It is the human body for question number three. Pretty straightforward. I'm confident you have all heard this fact before. What is the largest organ on the human body?
Is this rookie ball?
My science brother over there.
I thought you were going to be like, what bone did Kelly break in thousand?
That I would not know.
Xiphoid process.
Well, that was funny. We were talking about that one day, and you're like, I was like six. And you're like, I broke my nose once. I was like, seven.
Yeah. I thought I broke it.
What is the largest organ of the human body?
I was going to write down like a scientific answer as well, but I didn't want to.
Would have liked that I didn't very
wanna,
much.
Well, actually. I was afraid that you'd be like, oh, actually, it's not that until you get it wrong. So I went more with the layman. I don't know. Yeah. You might be.
I am the Kelly.
You know,
I could have wrote the system.
You know, I didn't want to, you know, put that in and be like, actually, it's not that.
Test so the water. Yeah, it's going to be a tight race. All right. What is the largest organ of the human body? We got skin from Kelly and Nick and Brian and Scott. That is the correct answer.
Epidermis?
Epidermis is a layer of skin.
Okay.
Is that the integumentary system?
That I don't know.
I don't know if that's right. You making stuff up?
I don't know
that word. Say that again.
What
integumentary system?
Is the system.
The organ of the skin.
Skin a part of, yeah.
I don't know that one.
Central nervous, muscular, skeletal. I have no idea, by the way.
Quit showing off.
What the right answer is.
Muscular. Quit showing off. Cardiovascular. Stop it.
Well, medically, skin is classified as an organ and is the largest one in the human body by surface area and weight. For an average adult, skin can cover about 1.5 to 2 square meters and weighs roughly 8 to 10 pounds. That'd be important for that guy in Silence of the Lambs to know that, of course, which is making his suit.
That's a hearty meal.
Forming the protective barrier that helps regulate temperature, prevents fluid loss, and houses a dense network of nerves for touch and temperature and pain sensation. What do we got, Pro-Am?
Integumentary.
Yeah.
Ah, you nailed it.
Man, Kelly, I have got such a science crush on you right now, dude.
Nice work, brother. Nice work.
He reads.
Yeah. He pays attention.
Nerd.
I'm worth $3.5 million that the government knows about. I can barely read.
Truth.
All right. Moving on to question number 4. Americana, American history. Which U.S. city hosted the 1876 Centennial Exposition, where Alexander Graham Bell publicly demonstrated the telephone? Which U.S. city? So you're going to list a city. Which U.S. city hosted the 1876 Centennial Exposition, where Alexander Graham Bell publicly demonstrated the telephone? Listen to an episode earlier. We'll tell you who he did not call.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah. I remember that, yeah.
I think that's trivia with a twist. Number two, maybe.
Yes. Oh. Does anybody actually know this? Any confidence?
I just have a guess. An educated guess.
Educated guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. He wants you to read the question again.
Looking in my eye. He's trying to read the host here a little bit.
If your eyes said a city. Whatever.
You have your ears is wrong, Scott. I looked at it.
Change it.
You're in his head now.
His board was actually blank at the time. Technically is still wrong.
Which U.S. city hosted the 1876 Centennial Exposition, where Alexander Graham Bell publicly demonstrated the telephone? Does everyone have an answer?
Sure.
Yep.
Let's reveal. Scotty's got Philadelphia, Nick with Chicago, Kelly with Philadelphia, Brian with Philadelphia.
That makes sense.
That is the correct answer. Philadelphia is correct. I mean, you kind of rifle through two or three or four cities.
Philly or Boston. In my mind, it was Philly or Boston.
That makes sense.
With it being the centennial.
I didn't consider that nearly enough. The centennial part.
Yeah.
Signed a piece of paper.
You'll get him, Nick.
At least I wrote down an answer.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the Centennial International Exhibition of 1876 in Philadelphia's Fairmount Park marked the 100th anniversary of the United States and served as the showcase for new technology in industry. It's funny to think about new technology in 1876.
Yes. And just, are you done?
No.
Okay.
Among its historically important displays was Alexander Graham Bell's telephone, which he demonstrated to visitors and judges, helping introduce voice transmission technology to the wider public. Change history.
I think Apple sued him over that.
AT&T.
And just to think, on our 250th anniversary, our president is hosting a UFC event in the White House lawn.
Well,
history just seems to repeat itself.
Yeah.
More serious though, I did hear a quote that I really liked, that history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. Yeah. That's been rolling through my head here.
That's a good one.
Anyway, bringing it back.
Sure.
Is that on a Snapple cap, or where'd you get that?
I don't know where I heard that, but I liked it.
Underneath a Mickey's.
Under a Mickey, that's what I was going to say. All right, question number 5 and it is 90s music. Are we ready? Which 1990s band released the debut album Cracked Rearview, which went to sell over 10 million copies and received a diamond certification from the RIAA? Lots of clues on that one, but tough to guess.
Was it the album? I have an answer, but I don't think it's right.
Album name.
Yeah. You said it's easy?
I thought so, the album name, because it broke a lot of records and stuff. So. Mm. Oh, sorry.
Diamond certification.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Sorry. Oh,
no. 10 million copies is not something to sneeze at. Next siphon.
siphoning through his hip hop collection. Well,
that's not helping me right now. Correct rear view. Read it again for me.
One more time. Which 1990s band released the debut album Cracked Rear View, which went on to sell over 10 million copies and receive a diamond certification from the RIAA?
What is the RIAA?
Recording Industry
Pro-Am?
Something of America.
Yeah.
Recording Industry Association of America.
Of America, yeah. Probably.
Pro-Am's looking.
Okay.
Scott's right. Shocking.
Well, Kelly and I are right.
Kelly's
right.
We tag team that thing.
Yeah.
We're giving the point to Kelly on that one. Nothing, Nicholas?
I wrote something down, but...
All right. Cracked rear view mirror, 10 million copies, diamond certification. Who did it? Let's see it. Hootie and the Blowfish from Brian and Kelly and Scott and Pearl Jam from Nick. Hootie and the Blowfish. Good, take it home.
Wow.
I was not confident.
Only want to be with you. Copyright. I don't think if we sing it, we'd get in trouble.
No, I don't think so.
Especially as bad as you just did it.
Yeah. I was going to say, I sounded just like him, obviously. Hootie fans? I know we've had the whole old wagon wheel story.
That album's
that's iconic,
it's a
man.
Good
right?
album.
Yeah.
For who?
For him, at least. For the 90s.
I think for them it was.
If you're going to make an album.
Oh, it's one of the top selling albums ever, though. Like, it's huge. That's a huge album.
Songs that feel 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And a Hootie song's going to be in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what else is in
there? Frat Boys.
The 90s have a wide genre.
Stone Temple Pilots is in there. Yeah.
Oh, love the Pilots.
Yeah.
That did not pop in my head at all. Dang.
Yeah. The grunge era, the hip-hop era. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to...
The R&B era.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a wide range
of
genres.
And then early 90s and late 90s are obviously hugely different.
Quite different.
Yeah.
Well, released in 1994, Country? Cracked Rear View was the debut studio album by Hootie and the Blowfish. It became one of the best-selling debut albums in U.S. history, eventually selling more than 20 million copies worldwide and earning diamond 10 times platinum certification from the Recording Industry Association of America. The album topped the Billboard 200 multiple times and was the best-selling album in the United States in 1995.
Nice.
Does he do anything now?
Yeah, he's a country singer.
Country singer. Darius
Rucker.
Yeah. They just
solo career.
Hootie just toured last summer. Even the Blowfish got back together too, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was five, right? Mm-hmm. So let's pay some bills. We'll be right back with the score check. All right, Nicholas, that's five, baby. Where we stand?
All right. Well, for this random trivia, not random, I'm in last. I have two, and there's a three-way tie for first because Brian, Kelly, and Doc all have four.
Four.
Wow.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Well, hey. Random is random, right?
That's
true. It could absolutely flip the script here.
It could.
Number six is inventions.
Okay.
Okay. What popular household item was originally invented as wallpaper cleaner in the 1930s?
Read that again.
All right. What popular household item was originally invented as wallpaper cleaner in the 1930s. I almost didn't put this in because I think we have had it before, but I didn't double check it.
There's wallpaper cleaner?
Wallpaper cleaner.
Popular item that was originally wallpaper cleaner in the 1930s.
The popular household item.
Household item. Ah. Is everybody pretty well stumped? Brian, you're writing. Are you stumped? Because I'll give a little bit of a hint.
Okay.
Yeah,
please do.
I'm not confident.
Yeah, hint.
It would fall into the toy category.
Got it. I think I got
that
it.
That popped into Kelly's brain there.
It was something that I had already thought of.
I figured you guys had heard that.
And I was going, I did not necessarily hear this fact.
Okay.
But that's what I'm going with.
I think it might have been in Doc's Toys episode.
Really?
Maybe not.
Really?
Maybe.
Okay.
Huh.
Brian, you got an answer.
Yes, sir.
Everybody's got an answer.
Did what you change your answer after the hint?
I did.
Oh.
What popular household toy was originally invented as wallpaper cleaner in the 1930s? Let's see the answer. We got Silly Putty from Kelly, from Brian, from Scott.
I spelled it way wrong.
It is not the correct answer,
it's
unfortunately.
Not?
It is Play-Doh.
Oh.
Oh.
Play-Doh.
What was your original answer be?
I you didn't say toy in the original.
No,
I did not. I said
household. So I was thinking I had Windex. I was thinking
Windex as well. Actually.
Yeah. But because, then you said the toy. I'm like, well, that's
well, and that's, if one person jumped on it, I wouldn't have given the hint. Right. But that's a fact that I had heard before. I don't know if I'd have got that one right.
I think adding the toy part in there was necessary because there could have been other wallpaper cleaners.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. You could have just said toy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you're not that specific, I'm sure there was other wallpaper cleaners in the 1930s of some sort.
Does anybody else have any feedback with regards to how I write my trivia?
Do better.
How much time do you have, Andy? Yeah.
All right. Well, before it became a children's modeling compound, Play-Doh began its life in the 1930s as a pliable putty manufactured by Cutel Products in Cincinnati, Ohio. It was designed to clean coal soot from wallpaper. Hmm. Users pressed the putty onto the soiled wallpaper and lifted it away without damaging the surface.
You said putty twice.
Yeah.
But it's not silly.
I know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Was there a lot of coal soot in houses?
I mean, that's how you heated homes, right?
I thought that was wood.
Like in the furnace. Like the furnace, you would burn coal.
100% is describing silly putty. Like you used to put silly putty on the newspaper, register. You pull it off, and it would have the print for the newspaper. It sounds like silly putty.
Yeah, it does sound that way.
I remember that. That's
When was silly putty invented?
Great question.
The clue.
I have Play-Doh.
You got Play-Doh. Yeah, there you go.
Silly putty. She fact checked you?
She fact checked.
Silly putty was originally something else, and it became a compound of a toy.
Yeah.
I don't remember the origin story, but
that one was military, definitely.
We will finish under protest.
No, I'm not saying
nobody
you're wrong.
Got it right. It's just a wash question.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I know.
So, we just like giving you a hard time.
Number seven.
All right, number seven. Landmarks. Which famous American landmark evolved from a rejected proposal for a torch-bearing statue at the entrance of the Suez Canal in Egypt? I'll read it again. I kind of chopped that up. Which famous American landmark evolved from a rejected proposal for a torch-bearing statue at the entrance to the Suez Canal in Egypt?
Should be easy, but
depends if you're paying attention or not. Famous American landmark was originally rejected to be placed at the entrance of the Suez Canal in Egypt. Everybody has a completed answer. I see some confident head nods. Well, we're going to find out. Brian, what do you got? Statue of Liberty. Kelly's got it. Scott's got it. Nick's got it. That's the right answer. The torch bearing gave it away. I should have. I debated on whether or not to put that in there. But that gave it away, right?
That was the only,
I knew it.
That was the only clue.
I didn't know just because I know they rejected it originally.
And I
should have
put it
in
there. Yeah. Somebody didn't
know. I had no idea that it was ever.
I was wondering if I get it wrong because I didn't know if there's like a different name. You know what I mean? But I knew they rejected the.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that? You got the backstory on that?
I do. Okay. You want to hear it?
I'm curious now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. In the late 1860s, French sculptor Frederick Auguste Bartholdi, I've done that once before on this show, designed a monumental work called Egypt Carrying the Light to Asia, intended as a robed female figure holding a torch at the northern entrance of the Suez Canal. The project was ultimately rejected by the Egyptian authorities due to the cost, so Bartholdi later reworked the core concept and turned it into Liberty Enlightening the World, which we rebranded as the Statue of Liberty.
Hmm.
There you go. Some deep knowledge on that
one.
Yeah. Deep cut.
Yep.
Thank
God. Yeah. Sorry, B. I should have left that torch off, man. You'd have probably been the only one that got it right.
No. Good.
Would you have gone? Did you actually knew that answer regardless of the torch part?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
He knew it was a rejected project and regifted.
I know that's hard to believe, but re-gifted. I did know it.
All right. Good job. All right. Question number 8. We're at the president's.
Of?
Yeah, United States of America. I've given.
Now I can guess one.
Yeah, that's right. Which United States president was the only one to also serve as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court? This is as plain of a trivia question as they come, whether you know it or not. Simple question. Who served as president and Chief Justice of the Supreme Court? Not concurrently.
Yeah, I mean,
it's impossible.
That would be a conflict of interest.
Wow.
We got Scotty writing an answer. Does not look confident in his answer.
You are correct.
All right. Kelly's in the same arena. Mm. One out of 40, whatever. How many different presidents were
there? Nope.
We should know that number.
We're on 47 right now.
Well, I know, but that's, you know, some are double, right? So how many actual bodies were there?
Yeah, I hear you. My bad.
I mean, that's a definitive answer. Which U.S. president was the only one to also serve as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court? Does anybody have it?
They may actually know. Okay.
No. I just had a complete guess. I know for a fact. I've heard it many moons ago, but I feel like it's got to be an
old one, but I don't.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah. Huh. You guys ready?
Sure.
Everybody's got a president on their board?
Yep.
Let's see him. Garfield from Nick, McKinley from Scott, Taft from Kelly. We've got Thomas Jefferson from Brian. We do have a correct answer. It's William Howard Taft.
Is that you, Kelly?
Complete shot in the dark. Wow. Complete shot in the dark.
Wow. Nice job, dude. That's awesome.
When you didn't question, know that you fact. Just go Taft. Everybody knows that.
You quite literally just picked a president and ran with it.
I mean, I knew it was an older president, obviously, but
is he the one that got stuck in a bathtub?
No, that's
Urban Legend.
That's Urban Legend.
He never actually.
Is he the one to have?
He had a wide.
He's a big boy.
But he never got stuck.
Is that what we're saying?
Is it Taft or Garfield?
Taft. I think it was Taft. That sounds right.
Portly fellow.
So three important facts about him.
One of us needs to become a president's expert because that comes up pretty regularly in our trivia nights.
Truth.
Yeah, it does.
So, yeah. Well, William Howard Taft served as the 27th president of the United States from 1909 to 1913, and then later as the 10th Chief Justice of the United States from 1921 to 30. He remains the only person in American history to have led both the executive branch as president and the judicial branch as Chief Justice, a unique dual legacy in the U.S. government. Yeah, that's just, it's hard to imagine because it's not like they're working against each other, but they are not on the same team.
Not always on the same page.
Different branches.
Yeah, very different.
Exactly why you cannot hold them concurrently.
exactly.
Great reason.
Okay, moving on. That was 8, though. Let's get a score check here.
All right, from worst to first. I am the worst. I only have 3. I am sucking so bad. Let's see. Then Scott and Brian both have 5. K-Ray, you're in the lead with 6.
Oh, it's a tight race.
Thanks to Taft.
Thanks to Taft.
Taft put you in the lead. With 2 questions left, it is a tight race. Unfortunately, I'm out of it, but
yeah, sorry.
I will keep playing, though.
The last couple aren't really going to help you.
Dang it. Dang it.
So we got United States geography for question number 9.
Definitely not my uncle's house.
All go you, for Nick. It. All you, baby.
All right, everybody ready? Which United States national park is the only to span 3 states? Man, this commotion is good. Mm. Wendy, if you're listening, bring some back next time.
If you drink the commotion after another really lighter beer, it's much stronger.
I completely agree, and I like that part.
Yeah. 3 states.
I have 2 prominent ones.
Which United States national park is the only one that spans 3 states?
Make these 3 guys write their answer and then give me multiple choice. I think it'll be okay.
You're out of it anyway.
Right? I'm out of it anyway.
That's a good point.
Three.
I got to go with this one.
Okay. Scotty, you got it 1 down?
I'm with Kelly. I got 2 in my head. I don't know which is which.
But have you written 1 down?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have.
Yeah.
And I have. You didn't want my backstory.
I have a good reason
really
for
each one. I
don't
really care about your thought process. Right.
Yeah.
What's that?
Nothing. I was going to tell you my thought process. Shut up, Kelly.
BQ, you ready to go?
Yep.
Nick, let's put a national park down.
I don't know any.
I know so few.
We covered that in episode 4.
Is
right?
that even a national park? Like, I don't know if that's a national park.
I got 2. I just picked 1.
Okay.
I'm in the same boat, man.
I'm not abstaining. It's lack of knowledge. That's not abstaining. It's like
you can't come over the park.
Abstaining is a choice. We did national parks.
I know.
Do you remember when we did national parks?
I remember.
You had a really good time.
Reveal.
What'd you say?
Can we please
calm down over there?
Come on, let's see him. We got Yellowstone from Scott and Kelly and Brian. That is the correct answer. Well done, gentlemen.
Good job.
Grand Canyon. The other one?
No, the other one was a smoke.
I just said
Smoky Mountains.
Right. Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's two states.
Just the, huh? Yeah.
That's just two states.
Well, it's just the proximity. There's more states in a closer proximity in my opinion.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
But Yellowstone is expansive, so that's why I went with that one.
Well, and from what I remember, and this is not a part of the flavor, that if you've watched the show Yellowstone.
Montana, Ohio, Idaho, Wyoming?
There's that little tiny, that is in the flavor. But there's that little itty-bitty tiny sliver of Idaho that doesn't have judicial services because there's no population. You have to be tried by the train station in the show, But you have to be tried by your peers. Within the county.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that county, there are no peers. So it's kind of this lawlessness. Now they've closed those loopholes largely. But I always thought that was pretty fascinating.
Interesting.
Yes.
So you said it was Idaho, Wyoming, and
Montana.
We're going to get to that now. Yellowstone National Park is the only United States national park whose boundaries extend into three states. Roughly 96% is in Wyoming, 3% in Montana, and just one baby little percent in Idaho. It was established in 1872 and is widely recognized as the world's first national park and is known for its geothermal activity, large wildlife populations, and extensive forest and river systems. It's a big park.
Yep.
Thanks, Teddy.
Thanks, Ted. Yeah. That's right. All right. Moving on to number 9.
Do we need crunch time, boys.
Are we still in?
It's a tight race.
I thought that should have been number 9.
Yeah, I thought it was.
That was 9.
That's what I said. Moving on to number
10. That was 9. Just to recap, Kelly's up by 1.
Okay.
Ryan and Scott.
Ooh, this is not a gimme. I love it.
It's not a gimme. Awesome.
No, not at all.
Awesome.
Number 10's category is business origins.
Wow. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm out.
I have no idea, but I like it.
Ready?
Yeah.
Which U.S. financial services company was founded in 1852, lots of hints, here we go, during the California Gold Rush to provide both banking and express shipping across the American West, becoming famous for its stagecoach deliveries of mail, money, and valuables. That was a lot of info. I'm going to give it to you two or three more times.
To me, this is a gimme.
This is a layup.
Really?
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Probably.
Well, I mean, unless I'm wrong, which is...
Kelly's making deep eye.
I feel like I'm right, but... I would not be surprised, because I'm always wrong.
I know. I'm wrong way more than I'm right.
I feel like it was a layup, honestly.
Let me give it to it again. Which United States financial services company was founded in 1852 during the California Gold Rush to provide both banking and express shipping across the American West, becoming famous for its stagecoach deliveries of mail, money, and valuables? Still happy with your answer, B?
Yeah.
Nick, you still feel good?
Oh, yeah.
Scotty got an answer?
Yes, I do.
Kelly's ready to go?
Kelly, how you feel? Because you're in the lead.
I did not feel good. This is just an educated guess.
Let's see him, fellas. Who's the first? We got Union Pacific from Scott, Western Union from Kelly, Wells Fargo from Brian, Wells Fargo from Nick. Wells Fargo takes it. That's a correct answer. Sir. Well done. Well done. This is the one that I think I would have known. But I'm not sure my head would have gone there. But I've watched enough Westerns, and Wells Fargo plays a prominent role in the
old does, ones. But the description of what they did at the time confused me.
That is designed to some degree, right? You have to know that they did that part.
Came across a Western like a week ago. And they're talking about they're wanted for robbing a Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
And I've heard it before, but that's why I went.
The stagecoach is a big thing within Wells Fargo.
Yeah, with their logo, right?
It's in their logo. Now. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
In
the logo.
That was in the movie about the Mormons, the new Netflix series that we watched recently.
Oh, Primeval?
Primeval? Yeah.
I believe right. so.
Yeah, I think it was. That was really good.
They also, from just my own observance, they handled a lot of the ransoms for wanted criminals, dead or alive type of thing. Yeah. They were the ones that trained.
And then they got robbed by those said criminals.
Typically, yes.
Right.
That adds up.
Sounds like they were in on it.
Inside man. Wells Fargo launched in 1852 to do two things the West urgently needed, handle money and move valuables over long distances through its express network, often by stagecoach routes and later the rail. Because those shipments were prime targets, the company relied on guarded cargo, including locked treasure boxes and safes, investigators, and rewards offered when items were stolen. One of the big banks.
Yeah, they are.
I think that's the only one I could think of that was also out of California.
They did also print reward posters. That's not really that interesting.
They printed
that
reward
kind
posters?
Of is.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, I find it interesting. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad I said that.
Yeah, thanks, Andy.
I like that.
That's 10, Nicholas. Where are we staying, baby?
This is good. I ended up with four.
This is good.
I was terrible. Scott, you ended up with six.
Thank you.
We have a tie for first. Kelly and Brian. Oh, we got a tie for first.
We are going to the tiebreaker.
Love a good tiebreaker. Actually, I hate random? Tiebreakers so much.
It is quite random.
Yes.
But there's context to it. All right. We've already heard with regards to Yellowstone National Park.
Oh. That ain't good.
Square miles.
Acres. Total acres.
Wow.
I got it down to the acre.
Half acre?
No decimal points.
Oh, okay.
Do we want any kind of baby hint? Just like how big the number is-ish.
I do, because it's like in his wheelhouse.
Kelly?
But I'll leave it up to him, though. If he doesn't want, I'm okay with no hint.
I'll leave it alone. Let's leave it alone.
It's your question.
Yeah, fair enough. It's I'm going to leave it alone.
It's your question.
You guys.
I mean, I don't even have
to. Just be a host, Andy, already.
God. Idea here.
Just be the host.
Man, right. I didn't know that.
Stop
was my
pretending.
Job.
So you're asking for how many square acres? Is that what you said?
The boundaries of Yellowstone acres. Are how many
acres? Is there square acres? Is that a thing?
Acres is
I know square area. Feet. You know.
Acres is a square.
It's a square footage. It's a area of square footage.
43,560 square feet.
Is that accurate? Your brain is very impressive. Now let's see.
Did he just spread off how many square feet it was?
I'm pretty sure he's brain man. He did. Over here.
So if you don't know how many feet.
He also needs to know that for his job.
So he needs to know how many feet are in an acre.
His day job. Yeah. It is. Wow. Got an answer, Brian.
Yeah.
You got an answer, Kelly. How big is the park when measured in acres? Kelly, what do you have? 3.1 million acres.
Holy
Brian,
wow, that's big.
We have 640,000 acres.
That feels
also,
like a big one.
Humongous.
That's huge.
2 million.
Wow.
221,766 acres. That crowns
goes to
K-Ray,
Kelly.
The champion of this one.
As soon as you said national parks, I'm like, well, that's over. Like, I knew that. Yeah.
That's a lot of acreage.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That is right.
That's too big.
It's the second largest.
Too big.
Anybody know the first?
Second largest what?
National park in America in this system. 63 total
that's
national
the second
parks.
Largest? Yosemite?
Second largest.
Is Yosemite bigger?
It is not.
Okay. Something in Alaska?
It is not.
Glacier National Park?
It is not.
Grand Canyon?
Grand Canyon?
You couldn't even pull one.
Is the Grand Canyon a national?
It is not. Oh. Pro-Am?
The Smoky Mountains?
Smokies is not the correct answer. It is Death Valley.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Death Valley National Park.
Fifth guess.
Yeah. Would have been my 22nd guess.
Pretty sure I got the Death Valley question right on the original parks one.
Okay.
Memories.
I don't remember that part, but we'll go with it.
I think I was the only one that got it right.
If only there was a record we could check.
No idea. I could be wrong.
Well, nice job, K-Ray.
Sorry, Brian.
Just like I don't have an opener, I don't really have much of a closer. Was that easier, harder, fun?
No, I mean,
that was good.
Based on the scores, it's right there.
Yeah. Went to a tiebreaker with me, so I would say it was easier for me.
Well, Brian, you have stated, I didn't write this for you. I don't write it for anyone, but you have stated most in the past that you really value kind of the potpourri toppings, the ones where we're not locked in on one category.
Yeah, I do.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And for what it's worth, a peek behind the curtain, that shows in our listenership. Our most popular episodes are the more generalized versions.
Those are definitely my favorite.
Yeah, that's what inspired this.
Because
that's the definition
of
trivia.
As a listener, you know, you're hoping stuff you know is going to be in it.
Yeah.
100%. Whereas if it's, you know, a category you have no idea about, well, why would you tune into it?
And never seen Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, you nailed that, right?
And also to me, I mean, like, that's the definition of trivia knowledge. I mean, just a random, just stupid stuff you know.
I mean, that's obviously
how do you know
something
that?
I already knew. But as I was writing that became highlighted. These are completely random facts that you don't need to know unless you know them and retain them. And that is...
solid.
That is the spirit of trivia.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree. I liked it. Good job.
Good. Thank you. Oh, look at there. He was about to tell me to rewrite my episode. Now he complimented me.
Yeah. Well, he's had a couple of beers since then.
Well, on that note, we're going to close out the episode.
Smart move at this point.
All right. Nice job, K-Ray. That's going to do it for this episode of the Ultimate Trivia Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe.
Check our socials.
And leave us a review. We'll see you next time with more trivia and more fun. And until then, keep your brain sharp. And those bellies laughing.
Hey, trivia fans. We're excited to partner with Warrior Logo Wear, a veteran-owned company bringing you exclusive Ultimate Trivia Podcast apparel. No minimum orders, just high-quality gear so you can rep your love for trivia and style. You can shop now at the Ultimate Trivia Podcast through a link on our website, or you can customize your own clothing at www.warriorlogowear.com.